The Israel Report with Rolly Marks for the latest information and the stories behind the news.
Rolly Marks, how are you?
I have to say, Howard, I've missed you.
Yeah, it just hasn't been the same. How are you doing? How was your chag? How was the three-day Yontif in Israel?
It was strangely and eerily quiet, although I'm sure that there are many, many relieved people all over the country that they can now go and bathe.
Absolutely, Rolene. The line is really not a great one. I'm not sure why. I'm going to give it another minute. If it doesn't settle, then I'm just going to ask Hilton to get you on again, because it really isn't coming through very clearly. Can you hear us clearly?
Perfect, loud and clear.
All right, so we're going to continue. We're going to give it a bash. Big news about the Palestinian Authority taking over Gaza.
It is big news. I tell you, one thing we can't accuse the Middle East of being, and that is predictable. We do know that Hamas and Fatah have been in talks over the last couple of years.
Rolene, I am going to stop you here. It's an important conversation. I'm going to just put you back to Hilton, and he's going to try and get you again. Whilst we do that, a message from Mervyn. He's saying, if the Palestinians are going to Gaza, then Israel must go full steam ahead and build on the West, in the West Bank. That's Mervyn's thoughts. Mervyn, I think it's... I'm not sure that it's about that, maybe, you know, but we're going to ask Rolene to update us on that situation. It does seem to me that Hamas have completely collapsed in Gaza. I also wonder if the possibility that electricity crisis didn't add to that pressure. Rolene, are you back with us?
I'm back with you.
Not, unfortunately, not much clearer. Rolene, the electricity crisis, was this all part of the Palestinian Authority's pressure to pressure Hamas to leave Gaza?
Well, I think Hamas leaving Gaza. I think they are looking for more control.
Rolene, I'm sorry. It's terrible. I'm going to ask Hilton to get you on the phone, rather. We normally do this by Skype, and it's normally fantastically clear. Unfortunately, now it isn't. So we're talking to Rolene Marks. She's our Israel Report. She speaks to us daily. We're talking about the fact that the Palestinian Authority are taking over the control of Gaza. Now, one would only hope that that this means there's going to be peace, or a greater chance of peace in that area. We do know how that Hamas is an absolutely unequivocally a terrorist organization. They are abusers of human rights. Anyone who speaks out against them is dealt with in the most vicious and violent way. Women are not given particular rights there. If you're a member of the gay community, you do so. You are so in secret because you will be killed. Hamas are a shocking and appalling terrorist organization. The question that I'm putting to Rolene is hopefully that will this improve the situation for the lives of the Gazans? Rolene, are you back with us?
I'm back with you. Let's try this third time lucky.
Yeah, much, much clearer. Okay, so give us the context, and then the question I was asking and posing to our listeners is, will this improve the lives of those living in Gaza?
Well, I think that the misconception is that the PA are taking over Gaza. They're not going to take over Gaza as we would imagine them to. There's going to be much more of a reconciliatory, perhaps unity type government. Hamas are not going to relinquish control that easily.
Okay.
But I think there has been a lot of pressure for Hamas to kind of moderate themselves. We know that this is not going to happen. And there is historically internecine fighting between the two parties. And I think that there is a lot of attempts to solve factional feuds between the two parties. But I don't think we're going to see Hamas completely vacate the Gaza Strip.
Ah, okay. So
I think what they are willing to do is they are willing to dissolve the administrative committee and enable the government to assume full responsibility. Whether or not this happens, I think we have to wait and see.
All right, and I guess it is better than the alternative, so maybe this will bring a positive change to those who are suffering under Hamas in Gaza.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, the situation for the citizens of Gaza has been absolutely untenable, and one only has to look at the governing tactics of Hamas to understand why. But having said that, the Palestinian Authority also have their fair share of major restrictions in place for their citizens.
Right. So it's what you're saying is it's only marginally better.
I mean, it would be if it indeed happens.
Right.
You know,
okay.
We have had these moves before, and they haven't worked in the past because there has been so much fighting in between.
Right. Let's just talk about what's happening in Germany. Angela Merkel looks like she's carrying on her term, thank God. But there was a significant growth coming out of the right-wing parties. What does this mean for us?
This to me is very worrying. This is the first time since World War II that we have seen a far-right party enter the German parliament. They're called Alternative for Germany, the AfD party, and this is the first time that they have managed to secure themselves a seat in parliament. They finished third behind the Eurosceptic. They came in third behind the Social Democratic Party, and they are known to be what we call Eurosceptic. And basically what this means is they would like to pull out of the European Union. They're very, very nationalist. They are anti-immigration. They are anti-Muslim. And I know that a lot of people think, well, perhaps if they are anti-immigration, you know, the situation in Europe might change. But just remember, guys, they may be anti-immigration, but they're sure not great friends of the Jewish people.
Mm-hmm. And it's a very, very worrying development, and one that, and there we seem to have lost Rolene again. So the line not stable at all. I also want to ask Rolene about the United Nations speeches because of Rosh Hashanah, because of the fact we weren't on the air at the end of last week. We haven't really spoken about Trump's speech, Bibi, Abbas, Rouhani, and of course, Sisi from Egypt, all of them speaking at the United Nations, and I just wanted to get a bit of a summary from Rolene on that subject. Hilton is getting her back on the line, and we will of course have that conversation coming up just around about 5:45. We're going to be chatting to Luba Mayakiso. He's the national director of ICEJ South Africa, and we're going to be talking about the Heritage Day in South Africa, and if indeed he believes that we have a joint and shared heritage. Here's Rolene Marks back with us. Rolene?
I'm telling you, there are so many gremlins interfering with our conversation today.
And now this is absolutely perfectly clear. Right, so Rolene, moving on to a subject that we didn't get a chance to speak about because of Rosh Hashanah, was all the speeches in the UN. We had Trump, Bibi, Abbas, Rouhani, Sisi, everybody except for you and me really speaking at the United Nations.
Well, you know that, first of all, we would just outshine everybody.
I think that's
and second
why,
of all,
yeah.
I don't think that you and I would keep to the allocated time because we have a lot of very important things to talk about.
Absolutely.
But these were some of the big speeches. As you know, all the member states of the United Nations, their leaders, gather around about this time of the year to speak to the Joint General Assembly. For Israelis, it's the annual Super Bowl because we all want to see what the Prime Minister is going to say. The big speech that everybody is talking about is, of course, President Trump's nearly hour-long speech where he excoriated North Korea. In fact, he used the term Rocket Man to
discuss the term Rocket Man.
Which I thought was absolutely hysterical.
Yeah.
But very importantly for us, he also excoriated Iran and their weapons of mass destruction or their nuclear program. He spoke about the nuclear deal being a bad deal, and he spoke about the massive threats to Israel. And the camera panned to Netanyahu while he was speaking or saying this, and I think Bibi's smile was wrapped around his head like a sun visor. We also heard from Netanyahu long after that, a very short speech, because normally Bibi speaks for about 40-something minutes. This year he spoke for 20-something minutes. Also a very, very strongly worded speech. And instead of using stare-downs and props, Howard, this year he kind of went the stand-up comedy route. He did speak about the United Nations and their propensity towards not what he said was not just fake news, but actually fake history. He brought up the issue of the UNESCO votes. He spoke about Iran. He praised President Trump, and he said that the whole world is opening up to Israel and Israeli technology. And he cited our biggest supporters, Howard. And can you guess who Israel's biggest supporters are?
No. Who? The United States.
If you guessed penguins, you would be correct.
What?
Because he said, yes, he did. He said, you know, as a prime minister, he's visited 6 continents. He hasn't been to Antarctica, but he hopes to go there soon. Because why? Penguins. Penguins see things in black and white. There's none of this nonsense in between.
No, you're making this up, Rolene.
Kid you not.
Oh, my word. All righty.
And Prime Minister Netanyahu's speech is on my Facebook page somewhere down the feed if you want to give that a listen. But, yeah, he really went the stand-up comedy route. From Mahmoud Abbas, we heard the usual venomous speech, which is to be expected. But he went so far as basically to say that the Balfour Declaration had robbed the state of Palestine. And as we know, there was and hasn't been a state of Palestine, and much more of what we can expect from Rouhani, which was the singling out of Israel. In fact, they didn't use the word Israel, but all their language alluded to Israel. But the real surprise for me was President Sisi of Egypt, who addressed both the Palestinian and Israeli people. He said to the Israeli people that peace is possible. Look at the treaty between Egypt and the Israelis. And he spoke to the Palestinians saying, you know, it's time to stop your nonsense and be a lot more reconciliatory. So incredible. I think that perhaps this is a tactic by Rouhani. He seems to have brokered some sort of agreement between Hamas and Fatah, and perhaps he is seeing himself or positioning himself as the major mediator between Israel and the Palestinians.
All right. If he can be successful, that would be amazing. Maybe he'll be able to get the Palestinian Authority around a table.
Well, in the wake of do you bend a knee, do you not bend a knee, do you play sport, Trump is a little bit busy these days.
What is going on with Americans? I'm actually embarrassed for them. There are times that I wish I didn't speak English.
Well, no offense to our American listeners out there, but is it English, Howard?
Fair enough. I think that's a very fair comment. It's just really, in fact, I was talking to Sasha a little bit earlier, and I said, please tell me that you don't have that in your star report, even though it's big news and it's celebrities. But what a load of nonsense.
Seriously? Well, as you can imagine, Israelis have all got in on the action, and they have basically said that you show support for the people who have fought for your freedom. You know, America is a democracy, but remember when you bend the knee and you sing the national anthem, just who you are singing to.
Absolutely.
And just what you are singing about. You know, and also sports stars, you earn really, really large inflated salaries and do need to calm down.
Yes, so their defense was, well, we're not doing it for ourselves. We're doing it for those without voices. Oh, I want to vomit. I also wanted to say to them, you know, it's a refrain from my childhood. One of, you know, you parents have these awful sayings that somehow stick with you. And one of them I remember, as a young child was, why are you crying? I'll give you something to cry about. And I do kind of feel that that's the state of America right now, is, you know, seriously, you live in a democracy. You might not like the vote, the guy that is voted in democratically as president, but you are living in a country with free speech and a brilliant constitution and bill. You know, I don't get it. And they are making such a fuss over nothing, as though they're real things that they're fighting for. All they're saying is they don't like the guy in charge.
Well, I invite them to look a little further south about things that they maybe should be speaking about. And those are horrendous natural disasters like the hurricane in Puerto Rico or the earthquake in Mexico. Or if you really want something to talk about, perhaps you need to be speaking about the rise of white supremacists in America. But that's just my opinion, Howard.
Absolutely. Absolutely right. Unsigned WhatsApp, brilliant, saying what I found interesting was how many Arab states remained in the hall during Bibi's speech compared to previous years.
Well, isn't that amazing? Mm. Like, look at what we've seen over the last year. Despite what some Robin Hoods, and you know who you are, might say, mm-hmm. Israel's relations with Africa are opening up and gaining strength. In fact, if you pop onto Israel Link, there's a whole story about a delegation from Southern Africa, not just South Africa, who came to Israel to attend WATEC a couple of weeks ago, which was the water expo. BBC very, very successful trips to Latin America, to Australia, to Africa, and also, and Howard, you and I've chatted quite a bit about it, overtures coming from the Arab world, including from Saudi and Bahrain. And now we see more Arab representatives at the United Nations sitting in the hall.
Absolutely incredible. Before I let you go, we have to talk about the IDF in Mexico. I've been watching footage and images posted on social media, and wow, one's heart swells with pride.
Well, Howard, I'm actually going to stand in my office right now because I think that the IDF deserve a standing ovation. And I join you. I think my heart is about to burst with pride, because whether it is the footage of our incredible home front command and the structural engineers and the doctors that they've taken along with them, or whether it's Israel Aid, or whether it's Zaka with the rescue and recovery on the ground looking for people and doing rescue and recovery, or whether it's the citizens of Mexico who have lined the streets and who are clapping for our IDF and saying gracias, Israel, as they make their way to the earthquake sites to rescue people. It is, my heart swells with pride. You know, we know about their rescue efforts. These kind of things don't make the mainstream media, and I could not be more proud of our incredible brave men and women who are always first there whenever there's a situation around the world and wherever they are needed the most. And in the last couple of weeks, we have seen exemplary efforts from all our humanitarian organizations that deal with this kind of work, and our army, as they went to Houston, to Florida, they are now in Mexico and to other places where they are able to build their field hospitals in a matter of hours and do the much, much needed and appreciated work of recovering bodies and rescuing people.